So appreciate you. And you've prayed for us every week of the world since you've met us and since we had the privilege of meeting you. And we're so grateful for every one of you. And you're kind of like family. I don't know your faces, but I know your names. And I know some of you. If I could ever put your little signature on that card y'all pass around and pray for us, I don't know whose signature says what. I just know this. Somebody's praying, and we appreciate that. And God has answered those prayers, and you've been so kind and so faithful to us, and we're so grateful for that. And we'll say a little bit more tomorrow night as well. As I have the privilege of preaching tonight, I'm just honored about that. When Pastor Sutton called and gave us the opportunity and extended us such a kind offering to come out and be a part of this missions conference, it was surprising, to quite frankly, not because y'all are not kind and generous, that has been proven time and again, but that we'd get to come and get to say thank you. It means so much. And you paid for us to come say thank you. So thank you. And that's a hallelujah. I mean, that is a blessing. And so we are so honored to be here. And it's just great to see the Weavers. And anybody that's ever been in Arkansas, you feel like they're probably cousins somewhere back. But we've gotten to see them there a few times. As a matter of fact, they've sang for us a couple of times, just like y'all are so blessed to hear all the time. And I just praise the Lord for that. Matter of fact, the last time they came and sang and had their instruments out, we got one fella, and he doesn't raise his hand for it. He decides he's going to say anything in church. And he just said, "They ought to be on TV." That's what he said. And so they ought to be on TV. I don't know why, but that's what he said. They ought to be there. To him, that was the highest praise he could give them, is that family harmony. And I don't mean to make light. God has blessed you with that family. And we're just so thankful. They've ministered to us there. And so we praise the Lord for that. And praise the Lord for your pastor and his wife and all of you. And again, we look forward to being with you this week and are honored to be here. Would you stand with me, please? Let's take our Bible. Let's open to Philippians in chapter number 1. Philippians in chapter number 1, if we may. And we got in the hotel here just a little bit before service. Even though we took a flight here, which was a blessing, just meeting all the deadlines and getting in, and then all that. We don't have traffic in Marion, Arkansas like y'all have here. It's nothing like it. And we get tractors that get in the way, and we just take our time. But it was such a blessing to get in, and I got there, and Pastor had dropped off, I mean, a basket. They used to call those fruit baskets. I think there was a banana apple in there, but there was the good fruit in, like chocolate, and I don't know what all was in there. But it was a big basket. Where we live, there'd be a hot air balloon on top of it. It was huge. And I mean, it was amazing. And so we praise the Lord for it, and we're certainly honored. And I'm just glad to be here, and I'm privileged to get to preach tonight, and I'm thankful that I get to meet another missionary. And so thankful for the Moors and getting to meet them. And that's a friend that I'll have that you allowed me to meet and our family to be a part of. And they're not super far away from us. And so we're thankful for that and the connection there. And so we're just looking forward to getting to know them and enjoy the fellowship with you this week. Philippians chapter 1, if we could please tonight. Philippians chapter number 1. We'll begin reading in verse number 27, and we'll read down to verse number 30 if we may. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 27, the Bible says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together," I think most of us know this last phrase, "striving together," could we read the rest of that verse together? "For the faith of the gospel." Could we say that again together? "For the faith of the gospel." I'll continue reading in verse 28. "And in nothing, terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me." Would you please be seated? I'm going to pray. And as you're seated there, would you pray with me? And let's ask God to speak to us through his word. And certainly he has given us his word, and we need to hear from him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege of standing in this place. And Lord, it's humbling. I thank you for these people who have invested so much into my family and into Crittenden County, Arkansas, and Colonial Baptist Church, and they may never this side of heaven get to see the people that they have had an impact on with their faithfulness in the work of the Great Commission. But Lord, I pray that in some way, by some measure, they could be encouraged this week and strengthened this week, and that by the preaching of your word, all the prayers that have been invested into these meetings, both by every person here and by pastor, and all the investment, the meals, and all the time that's set aside so that we can come together for a series of meetings like this, I pray that it would all be to your glory, that you would do a mighty work through it. Please use me tonight. Be with Brother Moore as he brings the word of God. I pray that this week and these times together would be times that are beneficial for the furtherance of the gospel. And I pray that in these moments tonight that you would use me to say what you would desire and want to be said, and only those things that would be of help and aid to this wonderful church. And we'll be grateful for it. We ask for your power and strength in it. In Christ's name, amen. I want to preach to you tonight just for a few moments about striving together for the faith of the gospel. That was Paul's exhortation to the church of Philippi, to strive together for the faith of the gospel. I think we all understand this in this room this night, that the Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. That what we are here about in this particular series of meetings is to be stirred and reminded about the heart of God and the heartbeat of a New Testament church, and that is this matter of missions. The church is the vehicle of the Great Commission. That is who God vested. The Holy Spirit of God has given us this wonderful New Testament church to carry out the Great Commission and the part that we get to be a part in that. And as Paul challenged the members of the church of Philippi to both defend the faith of the gospel, he also challenged them to advance the faith, specifically, of the gospel. The church is a battleship. And we're soldiers in this army of the Lord, and the church is not a showboat. And I praise God for what Bethel Baptist Church has been able to do, and what churches that you have helped and been so faithful to encourage along the way, that you make sure that the heartbeat of these places, like God has allowed us to have there in Marion, Arkansas, is a common heartbeat, and that is striving together. But I want to speak a few moments tonight about the faith of the gospel. We believe the Lord Jesus Christ established the church. And as members of a New Testament church, we are a part of this institution, if you will, the New Testament church that carries out the gospel into the world. You know what I love about the Great Commission, about among so many things, is if you'll think about it, it gives every single person that is a part of a New Testament church an equal opportunity to participate. That when we all do God's way, and God's will, God's way as a church, we all get to participate. And so, you might not ever go to College Station, Texas, or go to Marion, Arkansas, or go to any of the places around the world where churches are being planted that your church is involved with in missions and carrying out the Great Commission. But you get to be a part of it by, like Paul is encouraging this church at Philippi. I love this thought, that it refers to this faith of the gospel as this is what the church at Philippi must strive to hang on to not let other things get in the way. We don't need to take a background into the church at Philippi per se, as I'm sure most of you would know these things and understand the background of this. Paul is writing from Rome. He's writing from prison in Rome. He's given this letter to Epaphroditus to carry back to the church at Philippi. There are some issues going on likely in the church at Philippi. There's these ladies, Euodias and Syntyche, and they've had some issues, and Paul's addressing those things in love. And we know the theme of this letter is joy. And we know that Paul loves these people. He's got a special place in his heart for this church. But if you look down in verse number 27 with me, I want to catch the heartbeat, at least here in this portion of the letter, where Paul says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." And that's all in the context of making sure that nothing gets in the way of the faith, that is the doctrine, the faith of the gospel. Jude called it the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Paul warned in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. But Paul touches on a particular portion or part of the faith, the doctrine that is carried down from one generation to the next as the New Testament church is to be carried on by those that are discipled as the folks get saved and so on and so forth. And when you think of that, he's making sure that they understand the heartbeat of a New Testament church is all about the faith, specifically here, of the gospel. We must maintain and strive together for the faith of the gospel. The Apostle Paul committed it to others. He committed it to Timothy, where he said, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust." Now, Paul had committed the faith to Timothy, and it was then Timothy's responsibility to commit this deposit to others. And I won't spend a great deal of time there dealing with the matters of doctrine or the faith that is to be carried on by those that are in the church that preach and teach the Word of God. But specifically here, talking about the gospel, Satan's out to steal the treasure of the faith. He's out to harm the cause of the gospel going forth into this world. And I would say this, that we've got to stop and recognize and realize how important it is not to let anything get in the way of the faith of the gospel. There are so many things that can come in the way, even in the life of a New Testament church. And all of a sudden, if you will, and I don't know if it's all of a sudden as much as it is over time, that which used to be important doesn't maintain the importance or the place where it ought to be. And this is why Paul is dealing with this. Yeah, there's some things going on in the church, and I don't know if there's anything terrible or horrible, but Paul is dealing with some things that the pastor of that church has certainly brought to his attention with some different issues, maybe with a faction in a church where, you know, here's this person, and this person's gotten against this person. There's people in church that are kind of taking sides, and all of a sudden, that which God has put us here to do is not going to get done if we get all sidetracked.
Amen. Amen.
So, it's sad when people say, it doesn't matter what you believe, just so long as you live right. It's not that important. We'll do missions our way and you do missions your way. Well, there's only one Bible way. And this idea of missions kind of like gone rogue where somebody says, well, I'm just going to go out and do this, you know, and I'm going to go with no authority, with absolutely no power behind the commission because they've stepped outside of that. And Paul is dealing with a New Testament church in love and reminding them of this great import here to make sure that the faith of the gospel maintains where it ought to be. I believe there's an all-out satanic attack against our churches. And I know there always has been, but there certainly is today. And I mean, the young people in our church, but I'm talking about the church in particular, to get folks away from the faith of the gospel. I believe there's three essentials. I'll just give you one of them tonight. But for victory in this battle to protect the faith of the gospel, and I'll talk here in verse 27 about the word consistency, just for a moment. The word consistency. Paul used this word conversation in verse 27. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. This word conversation, it describes our walk. It describes our actions. We use the term conversation, and generally we're talking about when we're bumping gums and blabbing at each other, when we're talking and just communicating. But the idea of conversation has everything to do with our testimony, the life of a believer that has been saved by grace through faith. Our testimony is our conversation is our testimony to this world. And whether you've thought it through or not, I'm hoping that we all have. That your testimony is tied to the church you're a member of. And that gospel that we give and that gospel that we have that has been given to us, we have the privilege of not just telling somebody how to be saved, but actually going beyond that and saying, hey, look, you can come and you can be baptized and you can be discipled and you can grow and all of those things. And so we understand the most important weapon against this enemy. And Paul deals with it here. We won't go through all the verses, but just the thought of it. Paul deals with it here. And I'll tell you this, the greatest weapon against the enemy of the faith of the gospel, it's not a powerful song or even a good sermon. It's not about some best-selling latest authored book that you'd find on a shelf. But the most important weapon, and Paul deals with it here, is the consistent life of a believer that'll just live by the faith of the gospel. Whose life has been changed, but that doesn't stop them where they get it and they actually take that and carry it out, and they communicate what Christ has done in them to somebody else through their church. And this conversation that Paul used is actually a relative to the word politics. And it speaks to this thought, and he's using that in their own culture. He's saying that we ought to behave as citizens are supposed to behave. We're to walk our talk. Now, I know in America, and especially in these last while, we hear the word politics, and we say, people stick their finger up in the ear, and they just go with whatever way the wind's blowing. But the idea of politics is the idea of conversation. That is, there's supposed to be a representation of a people that elects somebody and says, look, they're going to go walk the way we believe. Amen. And that's this word conversation. And that there is something that is deep down in them, and they can be trusted to represent that which we believe and how we behave in our belief. And so Paul suggested that as Christians, we're citizens of heaven. He says here in verse 27, he says, and whether I come see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye strive together, stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Well, I love that word strive. He kind of uses that as that athletic illustration, if you will, to strive together, to work together, to in common do that which, in this case, the church at Philippi was called to do with this great commission. We don't behave a certain way in order to go to heaven as though our good works have any saving merit. We behave like God's children because our names are already written in heaven. We behave the way that we're supposed to behave because we have been saved. We're not working to get saved. We're thankful we are saved. Our citizenship is already there. And I've just found it in my own life, and I've seen it enough for enough years in the lives of other believers. I'm talking about people that are saved and on their way to heaven, that when striving together for the faith of the gospel ceases to be that which we are working toward, we'll wind up like Yodius and Syntyche and finding other things to get all involved with and get all messed up and sidetracked. And I don't believe the devil cares what we get sidetracked in, just so long as it doesn't affect one more soul with the gospel. And so, the gospel is the good news that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again. And there's only one good news of salvation, and any other gospel is a false gospel. So as Paul says it here in verse 27, he said, whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Paul's writing a long way away. He's riding several hundred miles away. It would have taken Epaphroditus some time to even get there with that offering that the church had collected to take to their missionary Paul. But I'll tell you this, that in all that distance away, Paul, I'm sure hoping and desiring to go see them again, he said, look, whether I ever see you again or whether I come and see you face to face or whether I hear of your affairs in the absent point of view, if you will, I pray that I'll hear of you standing fast. Standing fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. If I could leave one thought with us tonight, it's this idea of understanding the faith of the gospel is of utmost importance to our mission. Because our mission is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And our mission is not something some man came up with. It's something that Jesus gave to us. He gives us our marching orders, so we understand the great commission is a mission that we have been committed, and it has been committed to the church, and we must be faithful in that. I want to thank you for being faithful in the great commission. But I believe that if we all did what God called us to do, that we could always do a little bit more. And when I say that, it may not be that as some individual says, man, I'm doing everything that God has called me to do, and that's great, and that's a blessing, and stay with it. But there might be somebody who's never gotten involved in striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul is dealing with an issue here, and the issue here is to encourage this church to be strengthened around this gospel. And it says in verse number 28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. Ultimately, this church was to stand fast and to stand together. And I believe God was pleased with not only how Paul, by inspiration, giving Paul these words to write, but I believe that God was pleased with even the reception of this. I love how the church at Philippi, as they take this word, they love the Apostle Paul. They have seen him sacrifice. This is a city where they saw many amazing things. I mean, who's standing and reading this letter is people like Lydia. Who's standing and reading this letter is people like the Philippian jailer, whose family was saved, who's reading this letter from the Apostle Paul and catching his heartbeat. They're being reminded, look, we are to stand fast in one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I love your theme, because it all begins at home. And if Philippi is ever going to be a church that God can use in the future, then Paul's helping them understand we've got to reach Philippi. We've got to make sure we stay on mission, that we stay on target. And if there's a commission, that obviously denotes there's a commissioner. Somebody had to give it. And that which has been given is that which is to be received. And that which is to be received is that which is to be translated, communicated, propagated, faithfully evangelizing, witnessing, preaching, soul winning. Pick your word. It's taking the gospel into the world, and it's to strive together for the faith, this doctrine of the gospel. Oh, the gospel is a very important doctrine. And I believe the word doctrine is, or the word gospel is something that has been like so, you know, terms are important. Words don't mean the same thing to everybody. And the word gospel has taken a hit, and not in Bible-believing New Testament churches like this, but where the world looks at the gospel and they somehow associate the gospel with that's all that we're ever supposed to do is just tell somebody that Jesus loves them. We ought to tell somebody that Jesus loves them, but we have got to tell them that after we tell them Jesus loves them, that He died for them, that they're a sinner, that they're on their way to hell without Christ, and that when they get saved, they don't just say, praise God, I'm saved. But listen, we're part of a church when you get baptized. And there's a commission that has been given that is to be communicated and translated, and that is why you have a missions program. And I'm trying to pack a lot of words into a short time, and a lot of my messages are like bologna. Y'all get them big sticks of bologna like you buy? We buy them at Walmart. Them big long things, they don't slice, you get to slice them as thick as you want them. You know what I'm talking about? My message, you can cut them off anywhere, stick something on the end, and pick it up next time, okay? And so if we get somewhere, we'll pick it up next time. Instead of me trying to cram all these words in, because I'm starting to feel like an auctioneer, and you probably can't understand what I'm saying anyway, all right? But I sure appreciate the opportunity to be a part of whatever God desires to do tonight through Sunday. It's been our prayer that God not only challenges and stirs Bethel Baptist Church, but that God will challenge and stir me. That what God has already done here, God has already, whether you'll ever see it or not, God has already given us at Colonial Baptist Church in Marion, Arkansas, such a tremendous help through Bethel Baptist Church. And I praise God for that. But it's something we must strive together and never let go. That the faith of the gospel is that which we strive for. Our Father, I pray that tonight we'd be reminded